This is Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Tens, Sutta 59, Going Forth. Therefore, bhikkhus, you should train yourself thus. Our minds will be strengthened in accordance with the spirit of our going forth, and arisen bad, unwholesome qualities will not obsess our minds. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of impermanence. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of non-self. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of unattractiveness. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of danger. We will know the even and uneven ways of the world. And our minds will be strengthened in this perception. We will know the coming into being and extermination of the world. And our minds will be strengthened in this perception. We will know the origination and passing away of the world, and our minds will be strengthened in this perception. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of abandoning. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of dispassion. Our minds will be strengthened in the perception of cessation. It is in such a way that you should train yourselves. When a bhikkhu's mind has been strengthened in accordance with the spirit of his going forth, and arisen bad, unwholesome qualities do not obsess his mind, when his mind has been strengthened in the perception of impermanence, and it goes through the list again, when his mind has been strengthened in the perception of cessation, one of two fruits is to be expected for him, either final knowledge in this very life, or, if there is a residue remaining, the state of non-returning. Okay, so what I find very interesting here is, even though there are a large number of suttas in praise of meditation and attaining samadhi and attaining the brahmaviharas, which very much require present moment awareness and really not letting any thoughts stick in the mind at all, which distract away from the object of meditation. This is an interesting and rare example, I say, of where there is an active use of imagination and an active use of, how can I put this? There's sort of like a worldview that comes out of these sorts of perceptions. There's a different perspective, which is not intuitive. We could practice meditation all day long. We could dwell in samadhi all day long, but these 10 things do not automatically follow just because we did all this meditating. Some of them might spontaneously occur to us after that kind of meditating, and we're lucky if they do, but I say it's not automatic. Yeah, so I feel suttas like this are important to sort of counterbalance all of the suttas which talk about straight up meditation, very straightforward meditation. Just stay in the present, focus on your object of meditation in this very one-pointed way. Now, this does kind of beg the question, okay, well, should one just go through the list from 1 to 10 things and just kind of work on all 10 of them? Just spend some time on each one and get good at all of them, because it does say to develop them. So should we develop number 1 and number 2 and number 3 and number 4 all the way up to number 10? And it's just like and. Should we do that? Or is it the case that we should do number 1 or number 2 or number 3 or number 4? And so on, all the way up to number 10. Okay, so is it or? Okay? As opposed to and. Now, this is my own sense, having been a monk for this long. This opinion is going to be unpopular, by the way, but I'm daring to share it with you anyway, okay? Most monks I've ever met, they're like, and. It's just a grocery list. Do them all. Whatever's the harder thing that's more work, that's the right thing to do. But I would argue or, in the sense of which of these 10 things is the best medicine that I can turn to now for the problems I'm facing now, okay? So let's say I go to the medicine cabinet. Here's my rationale. Let's say I go to the medicine cabinet and open it, okay? So there's Panadol, there's hay fever medicine, there's sleeping pills, there's, you know, several different kinds of medicine in the medicine cabinet. I'm like, there's all these choices of medicine. You know what? I better take one of everything. Let me take one Panadol, one sleeping pill, one hay fever pill, and, you know, whatever's wrong with me, all these pills are sure to fix it because I took them all. And I would say, no, don't do that. Know what your problem is and take that one pill you need, if you need it. Don't overuse that medicine. That's a bad idea. Okay, you take it when you need it and not otherwise. That's why I say it's or. And then as to all the others I meet who are like, no, this is and. And their rationale, if I were to guess at it, would probably go like this. Look, you can never study too much. It's always a good thing that we study more and more and more. And if you overdo it, why is that a bad thing? It's not a dangerous mistake to make. It's nothing bad comes of it if you do it too much. I would counter that line of reasoning by saying this. Okay, but if you overdo it, you will develop a tolerance such that these medicines don't work so much. Like, for example, here's just one example that comes to mind. Well, medicine is like this, by the way. If you over-rely on any medicine over time, that medicine won't really help you anymore, or not as much anyway. You might have to take more to get the same effect. I would argue that overdoing these sorts of medicines, I'm making the rabbit ear quotes here, you know, medicines, to me, they're like medicines. It is as though they're like medicines. That's what the rabbit ear quotes mean. It is as though. It's like a tolerance can be built up to these two if you overdo them, especially when you don't need, you know, that's not the thing you need. Like one can actually kind of get sick of something after time because you've just looked at it too much. It's sort of like eating the same food over and over and over again. If you have some favorite food, if you ate that same food all the time, would you get sick of it? Yeah, it is like that. You know, humans like a variety of things. I hate to say this, but we just get sick of things if we have too much of one thing. I did meet a senior monk once, and funny little story. One of the monks asked him, just this is in private, I won't say who this monk is because I do respect him, but he was going to say something weird here, unusual. Some monk asked him, why don't we ever study the Satipatthana Sutta? You never talk about it. You never teach it. And he's like, I am just so sick and tired of the Satipatthana Sutta. I've read that thing like hundreds of times and I'm just so sick of it. And at first, you know, I was really shocked and I was like, how could you say that about that sutta? That's one of the most famous, best suttas we have in Theravada. You know, he didn't say this when the lay people were around. And I was shocked, but I didn't say anything. I gave him the benefit of the doubt, thinking, well, he does have many other good qualities. So, you know, he is the abbot and maybe there's other dhammas he gets benefit out of. You know, I'll just trust. And now that I've been a monk this long too, I'm going to have to agree with him. You know, once you've been a monk for like a long time, you know, there are certain teachings where you do start developing a bit of a psychological fed up kind of a feeling. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just you're tired of hearing about it. Yeah, there are teachings. I won't say which ones they are, but there are teachings where I do feel kind of fed up. Okay, I've heard that enough times. You know, it doesn't do anything when I hear it. There are other teachings which I love to hear. There's other teachings which, you know, that's the food I crave, right? Of the teachings of the Buddha. So I feel there is such a thing as overdoing something so that you become fed up with it. So again, that's why I say it is, in my opinion, not the greatest strategy to go like and. Now, maybe at first, maybe when you're first encountering these teachings, okay, yeah, we'll spend some time on these if you've never done that before, you know. Maybe there'll be a big benefit if it's fresh and new and interesting and you've never gave it a try yet. Okay, well, I say give it a try. But all I'm saying is if one just keeps returning to it over and over and over, there is this fed up thing. Okay, so this phenomena. Maybe it's and at first, but then later on, or. It's kind of both at the in the right places and times. Okay, when it's all fresh and new to you, maybe you should study it in this and way, because it's something that might make a big difference for you. But then once you gain familiarity with it and you see how it works for you, it starts becoming more or, which particular medicine is the right one. You know, when I open the medicine chest, I can look over the medicines. Oh, yeah, this is the exact right one for me right here. I know this medicine. I've had it before. I know what it does. And I know this is the right medicine today. I'll take this one only and the right amount, too. You know, maybe only half a pill is the right amount. I'll just crack it in half and just have half a pill. Okay? Yeah, so these are different perceptions which are not intuitive that can help us tremendously in our spiritual journey. It assists all the work we're doing by all this meditating. It kind of makes a frame around everything we're doing. Why are we doing this? What's the big picture? Okay? These different perceptions help us to frame it all in a wise way. It creates meaning to what we're doing. It creates perspective.